Will you pray with me, please? O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts be found acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. A few years ago, my wife Amy and I decided that it was time for our family to adopt a dog. And so we went on the website of our local Humane Society and browsed through the listing of dogs that were available for adoption and saw a picture of one that we thought would make a nice addition to our family. And so the next day I went down to the Humane Society to see that dog. And she was indeed a beautiful dog, and I'm sure she made a great dog for some family. But for reasons I can't even really put into words, I just knew that she wasn't the dog for us. The Humane Society was full of all kinds of dogs, of all shapes and sizes, and to be honest, it was all a little overwhelming, and I was beginning to get ready to leave when out of the corner of my eye, I spotted a kind of scruffy-looking dog over off to one side. And again, without really being able to put into words, somehow, I just knew that that was the dog meant for us. The next day, I brought Amy and our boys to meet him, and he jumped up on their laps and licked their chins, and that's how our dog Yogi, yes, our family dog's name is Yogi Bear, came to live with us. Now, there's nothing particularly special about Yogi. He's not the biggest or the cutest or the smartest or the most athletic dog. We just knew he was supposed to be ours. For reasons that we can't really put into words, we chose him and made him part of our family. In the culture in which we live, we're accustomed to making choices from among a variety of options, aren't we? Maybe it's been a little while since you've been in a grocery store, but the next time you're there, just take note of how many different varieties of canned green beans are on offer in the aisle of your local grocery store. I read some years ago that someone took a look at the menu at their local coffee shop and did some mathematics to discover, accounting for all the different sizes and all the different varieties and all the different creamers and sweeteners and flavors, there are over 14,000 individual ways to have a cup of coffee at your local coffee house. And I don't know if you've heard, but there's an election coming up in a few weeks. So in our culture, we are very much accustomed to the idea of making a choice from a variety of options available to us. But what about God? Did God choose us, or did we choose God? And if, in fact, somehow we are in relationship with God by some sort of choice, what implications does that have for our relationships with everybody else? All of those kinds of questions draw us to our story for today. This fall, we are doing something of a high-level overview of the Hebrew Scriptures, what we also call the Old Testament. And we began our conversation last week with one of the accounts of creation that's found in the early chapters of the first book of the Bible of Genesis. And we remarked last week that the first 11 chapters of Genesis form what scholars call the prehistory narratives. So these accounts of creation, the story of Cain and his brother Abel, a story about a certain Noah and a great flood and an ark, a story about the Tower of Babel, those are all sort of grand sweeping stories that are our ancient ancestors' efforts to tell us about who God is and how the world came to be as it is. But at the tail end of the 11th chapter of Genesis, a dramatic shift happens in the focus of the story. The focus narrows drastically from this sort of grand sweeping epic and begins to focus in on this one couple. And that focus will remain there throughout the rest of the book of Genesis. And so we are introduced at the end of chapter 11 to this man named Abram and his wife Sarai. And right off the bat, the narrator tells us two things about them. Number one, they are already aging. And number two, they have never been able to conceive or bear children. Now, infertility is, of course, a challenge for modern people even today. But in the ancient Near East, in the culture in which Abram and Sarai lived, barrenness went deeper than a biological problem. Barrenness was an outward sign of hopelessness. Because in that day and in that culture, property and wealth were only passed through the firstborn male heir. So to be unable to generate a male heir to receive the family's inheritance meant that that family's days were numbered. It meant that when that couple died, their legacy, any hope they might have for life beyond themselves, would die with them. And in many ancient Near Eastern cultures, barrenness was often interpreted theologically as a sign that the family that was suffering from the barrenness had somehow fallen out of favor with the gods. And so all of that then makes this story about this couple all the more shocking, because we are introduced to Abram and Sarai and we're told about their barrenness. And so, not to put too fine a point on it, but in that day and in that culture, we're being told that they are essentially dead people walking. And then we turn the page to chapter 12, and we read something shocking. We read that the word of the Lord called to this old, childless couple. And the word of the Lord said, "Go. Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house and go to the land that I will show you, and I will bless you. I will make you a blessing. I will make of you a great nation. And in and through you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. I will bless you, and in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed." For me personally, this is one of the most important passages in all of Scripture. To me, this is a key for unlocking and understanding not only the rest of Genesis, but indeed the rest of the biblical story. Because what it tells me is that from the very beginning, God's intention, what God is up to in the world, what God is all about, is blessing. God's purpose, God's mission statement, if you will, is for the blessing, not just of Abram and Sarai, but for the blessing of all the families of the earth. But in order to accomplish that purpose, apparently God isn't going to just snap God's fingers and say, "Be blessed." Apparently God is going to work out the why, the blessing of all the families of the earth, through a how that involves this one particular family and their descendants. Some of you may be movie buffs and may remember that line from the movie Casablanca: "Of all the gin joints in all the world, she had to walk through mine." We think about, of all the people in the world alive at the time of Abram and Sarai, of all the options that were available to God, God chose them. There's nothing in the text to indicate that they were better or worse than any other couple, any other people in the world. It doesn't say that God chose them because they were the smartest, or the most athletic, or the most good-looking, or the most faithful or pious. As a matter of fact, part of the shock of this text for the original readers is that they were deficient. They were barren. How in the world is God going to make a great nation out of this hopeless couple already into their 70s. But Genesis 12 says, Abram and Sarai went, as the Lord told them. They heard the word of the Lord, and they trusted and believed that they had been chosen, that they had been called by God to be part of God's mission of blessing all the families of the earth. And so they left. They left their country and their kindred and their father for points unknown. And the journey did not go smoothly. From the beginning, there were problems and challenges along the way. And as they're continuing to try to find their way to this land of promise that God has told them about, time keeps ticking. And Abram and Sarai are not getting any younger. And they still, after all this time, have yet to produce their own male heir. And that brings us to our story for today. So I invite you to listen for a word from God from the 15th chapter of Genesis, beginning at the first verse. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, you have given me no offspring, and so a slave born in my house is to be my heir. The word of the Lord came to him. This man shall not be your heir. No one but your very own issue shall be your heir. He brought him outside and said, look toward heaven and count the stars, if you're able to count them. Then he said to him, so shall your descendants be. And Abram believed the Lord, and the Lord reckoned it to him as righteousness. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. My friend, here's something I believe very deeply, very deep down inside. I believe that God has chosen you. There are more than 7 billion people with whom you share this planet right now. Who knows how many billions of people have come before you, but I believe in my heart of hearts that God has chosen you. Because God has this grand vision, this grand plan for the blessing of all the families of the earth, and God has claimed and called you to be a part of that plan. And you might say, Come on, I'm too old. I'm too young, I'm too weak, I'm too sinful. As we talked about last week, God knows all about you. God is the one who knit you together in your mother's womb. It was God's eyes who beheld your unformed substance. It was God who knew the days of your lives before they were yet numbered. God knows you, all the good and all the bad. And as we said last week, and even all the ugly. But God has called you and claimed you, said, you're a part of this. And I hear you saying, now how does all this work? Because I've done my genealogical research, and I'm pretty sure that I am not related by blood to anyone from the ancient Near East, much less this Abram and Sarai couple. And that very well may be true, but you and I both know that families come in all shapes and sizes. You and I know that you need not be a blood relative to be part of a family. And that brings us to the cross. And the cross and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You were claimed to be part of this family story. You were adopted into this family. That's what we say when we baptize. That's one of the things that we are marking. These waters are a marker of your adoption into this family, a mark that God has claimed and sealed you and put God's name on you and claimed your life. You, my friend, have been called and chosen by God, not because of anything that you have done or not done, not because of anything that you have said or not said, but out of God's own good pleasure. You have been claimed and marked by God, not because of who you are or who your people are or where you come from, not because you are better or worse than anyone else, but because of reasons known only to God, God has chosen you and marked you and claimed you. Because it's God's intention to bless all the families of the earth in and through you. And you and I both know that when you bear the waters of baptism, when you claim the name of Jesus Christ, oftentimes it doesn't lead to less trouble, but more. Jesus didn't say, "Come be my disciple and this will be easy." Matter of fact, he said, if you want to be my disciple, if you want to follow me, it's going to involve cross-bearing. He didn't say it would be easy. He only promised that it would be worth it. And so I know this has been a hard year, my friend. I know you might right now really be struggling with all that's going on in the world around you and in your own life to hold on to hope. Maybe you are feeling that sense of barrenness, that sense of okay, I signed on, I accepted God's claim and call on my life, but I'm still waiting around for the promises to be filled. I know right now, it seems like meanness and deceit and darkness and hopelessness are the only forces at work in our world. I feel it too. So here's what I'm hoping and praying for. Hoping and praying that at some point before we're back together again next week, that God will say, step outside with me and show you the stars and invite you to remember who and whose you are. I'm hoping at some point that God will remind you yet again of the most common imperative phrase contained in all of Scripture. You remember an imperative phrase from grade school English? An imperative phrase is a commandment. The most common commandment, the most common imperative sentence in all of Scripture, God said to Abram right there in our text, do not be afraid. I'm hoping that at some point, before we're together again, that God will find a way to remind you that despite all the chaos that seems to be unfolding all around, there is, in fact, a master plan, a divine order and purpose that involves the blessing of all the families of the earth, and that you, despite any shortcomings you may feel, that God has chosen you to be a part of it. I hope that you will believe that this week, and that you will act on it. Most of the yous, of course, in the Bible aren't yous, but they're y'alls. or all y'alls. Most of the time the word you appears in the scripture, it's in the plural. And so God's claim, God's choosing isn't just on you as an individual, but God has put us together in a community of faith. And God has brought us into this place we call First Presbyterian Church. We're marking our bicentennial year. We're looking back on 2 centuries of mission and ministry in this place in the name of Christ. And it's good, and we should do that. But we need to remember also that our purpose isn't just to be around a long time. The church was not called into being. God did not call this church into being so that we could be caretakers of a beautiful historic building. No, we have a higher purpose. God has called this church into being because God has a plan for the blessing of all the families of the earth, and God wants First Presbyterian Church of Athens to play a critical role in that mission. God wants to bless all the families of the earth. That's what God is up to in the world. Not just the families who look like us or vote like us or worship like us, or pray like us. Not just the families that live in Northeast Georgia, or in the South, or in the United States. No, this is bigger. God's intention is to bless all the families of the earth. And so God has called and claimed and marked First Presbyterian Church of Athens to help carry out that divine purpose. I know these are hard times. 6 months we've been meeting like this. May God remind us in this season who and whose we are and what we're to be about this day and every day. Thanks be to God. Amen.